Thanks, Ken. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's very nice to see you. Well, once there was a Sunday school teacher, she was telling her class the story about Jesus walking on the water. And as you know, the disciples were in a boat and very scared, and it was, you know, very late at night. It's about like 3 a.m. at nighttime in the morning. And they were battling about the waves and all that. So the Sunday school teacher was telling the little boys and girls that it was very scary for the disciples. And then as Jesus was walking on the water, the disciples thought that it's a ghost. They were all terrified. But Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And the Sunday school teacher was telling the little boys and girls, "I want you to memorize this verse today. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And you know what? The pastor this morning wants one of you to come up to the sanctuary and tell the whole congregation about this verse, that you can recite this verse. There was one little boy. He was very, very excited about it. And he raised his hand as high as he could. He said, me, I got this verse memorized. I know what it is. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And the Sunday school teacher was very impressed and called him out and said, "Now I'll take you up to the sanctuary." And so as the little boy was walking towards the pastor in the sanctuary, he was still very excited, and he was saying, "It is I. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." He kept on reciting this verse again and again. But as he was walking towards the pastor, then he saw all these grown-ups on his right side, on his left side, all looking at him, and he started to be very scared. And by the time that he got up to where the pastor was, he kind of blanked out, and then he didn't know really what to say. And then he opened up his mouth, and he said, "It is me, and I'm afraid." How many of us can identify with this little boy this morning? We know exactly what the Bible says. We know God tells us, do not fear and trust in Him. But when real danger and real crisis comes, we're in a panic mode. We are crippled with fear. We all live in fear. How many of you are scared of the coronavirus today? I know that in our group, in our home group, some people did not even want to come because they said, you know, we don't want to be with where people are. They canceled all the doctor's appointments, and they tried not to go out to eat, and they just wanted to stay put. They're just crippled with this fear. And how about, you know, how many of you are watching the stock market? And is that something scary too, the global effect from this virus? Fear actually never leaves us. Psychologists told us that even when we're born, we come into this world with fear. And then as little kids, the main fear that they have is abandonment. They're so afraid that the parents will leave them. So that's why they cling on to their parents all the time. And then as they grow older, as teenagers, they have a fear of rejection. What about if people don't like me? They don't want to be my friends. And then later on, as we grow older, and then we have the fear of failure in school, that we don't do well, and failure in our career, we got fired, and failure in our relationship, that our spouse would leave us. And then from that failure, we have the guilt and shame that go with it. And then later on in life, as we're older, we have the fear of loneliness, that we're all by ourselves, that no one is really taking care of us. And of course, the ultimate phobia in life is the fear of death. This morning, I want to look into Psalm 46. It's a psalm that is usually read during personal crisis or national crisis. It's a hymn of thanksgiving. And commentators believe that this hymn actually is written by Hezekiah to celebrate the miraculous deliverance from the Assyrian king. The historical record is historical event is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. I would highly encourage you to read through those two chapters, during this week sometime. And in this hymn, in this psalm, it can be divided into three sections. And there are three affirmations of faith that I want to go over with you in face of fear, that we can apply these three affirmations of faith whenever we face a crisis in our life. The first affirmation is, I will not fear because God is my refuge. And the second affirmation is, I will not faint because I have a river. And the third affirmation is, I will not fret because I have a revelation. So let's take a look at the first affirmation to begin with. Verse 1 to 3 of chapter of Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling. It was the 14th year reign of King Hezekiah, king of Judah. And at that time, there's a mighty Assyrian king by the name of Sennacherib came to invade Judah, and they capture all the fortified cities of Judah. Hezekiah knew how powerful this Assyrian king was, because about 8 years before that, this Assyrian king, Sennacherib's predecessor, named Shalmaneser, he came to attack the northern kingdom of Israel, and then he totally destroyed it and then took the whole kingdom into exile. The whole northern kingdom just was destroyed by this mighty king. And so Hezekiah knew the danger, that they were really in a big crisis. So he offered to pay tribute to Sennacherib. He said, I'll just pay anything you want. Just don't come to invade me. But Sennacherib would not accept that. And so he demanded Hezekiah to surrender, or he would destroy Jerusalem. And besides that, he also sent a threatened letter to Hezekiah. And he says, well, you saw what I did to all these other nations, and you saw what I did to all these nations' gods. Why would your God be different? I am going to destroy you, and your gods are going to fall before my God, and your God is not able to deliver you this time. So Hezekiah was really like a bird in a cage. Everything around him was shaking, was crumbling, was falling apart. He had this irresistible foe at the gates of the city, ready to break in. He's being attacked in every aspect of his life. Of course, his physical life is in danger. And psychologically, he also lost that confidence as being the king. You know, would I be able to protect this people? Would I be able to save Jerusalem? And also spiritually, he's being attacked. Because is my God able to save me at this time? And so the way that Hezekiah described his situation was like the earth that's being changing, like an earthquake under your feet. And then the mountains, the huge, majestic mountains, are being carried into the midst of the sea. And then because of that, there's this raging roar of the stormy winds and the crashing waves that follow that. As we know, mountains always represent the most secure thing in our life. It is our security, things that we base our identity and our sense of worth and who we are. What are the mountains in your life this morning or this afternoon? What are your security blankets? Is your security based on your abilities or your talents? Or is it based on how much money you have, how much power you have? Or is it based on how strong you are, your health, your career? Or is it based on a spouse that really loves you? or based on how well your children are turning out. It's a really wonderful thing to have all these things. But if our security is based on all on these things, and we know that all these things are not finite. They're not finite. They will change, and they will be gone one day. And they're very vulnerable. And so if our security is based on all these things, there will be fear. Because our fears always surround these things, because they will change. What if the stock market crashes? What if you lose your job? What if you get a coronavirus? And what if your spouse cheats on you? And what if your children are not turning as good as what you're seeing? All these things will change anything else besides Jesus Christ, our solid rock. All other ground are sinking sand, because Jesus Christ is the only one who is yesterday, today, and forever the same. And on the day when everything around Hezekiah was shaken, was crumbling right before his eyes, with all these raging roars and crushing waves that melt every heart, he's able to say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. The God that he trusted in is unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable, immutable. That's why we have this affirmation of faith. I will not fear because I have a refuge. And who is this refuge? God is my refuge and strength. We know that Hezekiah was a very godly king. God could definitely take away our pain and shield us from all these sufferings. But the problem is that if he does that, we will stay the same forever. We will never grow. We will never really experience his love and power the way that he wants us to. We will never really taste what the goodness of God really is. We will never be able to behold his beauty and his faithfulness. You know, if God gives us sorrow, it is in order that he may give us himself. Notice that here, the Bible didn't say God gives us the strength. The Bible says he is our strength. The end and object of every experience in life of the faith is to perfect everyone that really believes in him and loves him. So when we face whatever crisis we have today, we are not alone.
He is your strength, and He is there to help us to face our fears. And if we hold on to Him and trust Him, we will grow in His grace, and we will become stronger, and we will become who He really intended us to be. One time, Jesus said to Peter, He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." We know that Peter was really sifted that night, and he was sifted to the very core of his being. And then what is left that he saw? A big failure. A coward. He's just really like his name, Simon, shifting sand. He was a nobody. And when he was facing a crisis like that, it's not because God wanted to make him look miserable or God just wanted him to know what a terrible person he really was. But it's because God wanted him to be stronger and to grow, and so that he can strengthen the others. So Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you." In the midst of the crisis, don't forget, God has already prayed for you. He is already carrying you through. Because we know that in Romans and also in Hebrews, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the one that is forever interceding for us. We cannot fail because God has already prayed for us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He will carry us through. Therefore, we can boldly say this affirmation of faith. I will not fear because I have a refuge. And who is this refuge? It is God. God is my refuge and God is my strength. And the second affirmation, I will not faint because I have a river. There, there's still another one, so we'll get through it. Now, the interesting thing is that there is no river in Jerusalem. However, there is an underground stream. So when the Assyrians lay siege to Jerusalem, all the outside sources of water were all cut off. But the enemies did not know that there was a secret underground stream. And that secret underground stream was able to supply the whole population of the water that they need. Sometimes when we face crisis, we feel that all the outside sources are all cut off. And we have no friends to really turn to. And even our family sometimes will turn against us. And we feel that we are all alone sometimes. So when the Assyrians cut off all these outside supply, Hezekiah was still able to say in verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved." And what is this river? What is this underground stream? It is no other than God Himself. It is a constant, God is like this constant flowing river inside of us that's bringing joy and delight, bringing peace and security. The enemies can attack all that they want on the outside. You know, remember the water in verse 3? It's like really roaring, and the waters roar and was troubled water. But the inside is peace and joy and safe and security. It is this hidden underground stream. Before Jesus went on the cross, he knew that his disciples will be troubled and will be afraid. So that's why he said to them in John 16:33, he says, These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This world will have tribulation, will have distress, will have suffering. But the key is, Jesus says, but in me you can be filled with joy. In me you can be of good cheer. And God Himself is that river, that life-giving and life-preserving God. He is right in the midst of His people. And in John 7:38 there, on the very last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and He says, and He cried out actually, He said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And this innermost being, this river that's flowing, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. He is inside of us. And when Jesus went to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to be in us. And the Holy Spirit dwells inside of everyone who believes in Him. And He empowers us with His unlimited resources. He floods our innermost being with supernatural strength so that we can really know how deep and how wide, how high and how long His love really is. So we can be rooted and grounded in that love. So that you will truly know that you are His beloved. No matter what, His love will always be with you. And when you're in a crisis, it's not because God has forgotten you or forsaken you. It's because He loves you. He wants to be with you. Do you know the opposite of love is not hate? The opposite of love is fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Love and fear can never coexist together. They're mutually exclusive of each other. And when we know God's love, love will not have hold into our heart. As Isaiah 43, he says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Do you know how God redeemed us? It's not by money. It's not by silver or gold. By shedding God's own Son's blood. For Him to die on that cross so that He can redeem us and buy us back. So when we have that love, Isaiah saying, "You, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." The Holy Spirit is always here to remind us how precious we are. How much He loves us and care for us. So when we face any kind of crisis, we need to know that God does not want us to be miserable, but He really wants us to know Him in a deeper way. As Paul says, all these present sufferings that we go through is nothing compared to the future glory. And also, while we're going through this crisis, He is the one that's walking alongside with us. And He is the one that's carrying us in His arms during the darkest storms. You only see one pair of footprints on the sand. And there's not one moment in your life that God is not with you. And with this kind of an assurance of His love, there will be this deep joy that will spring up from our soul. And even in the middle of this crisis, we can still have this joy. The best way of describing joy is not just being happy, but it's that buoyancy that is in us. So no matter how much the waves are crashing down on us, we can go down a little bit, but then because of the buoyancy, we will rise up again. And no matter what kind of crisis that's just coming down on us, we will have that buoyancy that will never really get us down totally. And that is why there's a song that says we can raise a hallelujah even in the middle of the storm. And we can sing louder and louder and that you're going to hear my praises roar. The roaring is not from all these angry waves out there, but the roaring is our praises that rise up from our soul. And that is because we have this hope. Hope that, in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved, and God will come to help just at the break of dawn. He will come through at the right time. God will never delay his help. As the psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. He truly is a very present help in times of troubles. He's actually here all the time. But unfortunately, a lot of the times we don't notice his presence until we're in crisis, until we're in trouble. And therefore, in the midst of crisis, we will not faint because we have a river. And then the third affirmation of faith is, I will not fret because I have a revelation. Verses 8 to 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We know that Hezekiah is a good king. He's always trusted God. Earlier I mentioned that as soon as he became king, he had this religious reform. And he smashed all the idols, he repaired the temples and all that. And then the next thing you hear is that, and now Sennacherib came to attack him. He said, wow, he's been always faithful, he's godly, he obeyed all the commands of the Lord. Why does God allow this irresistible foe to come to attack him? He allows it because he wants Hezekiah to know him in a deeper way, to reveal more of his glory, more of his love to him. When Sennacherib came with this threatening letter, full of blasphemers against the living God, the first thing that Hezekiah did was that he went to the house of the Lord. What do you do when you go to the house of the Lord? You pray. And you meditate on God. You behold his beauty. And you think of all these great things that God has done. And your faith will be strengthened. He took that letter and he spread it out in the altar and he prayed. And then God sent his words through his prophet Isaiah. And he told him that your prayer has been heard and Jerusalem will be saved. And that very same night, an angel of the Lord went out and struck down in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 Assyrian troops. And when the morning comes, at the break of the dawn, it was all dead bodies on the ground. King Sennacherib went back to his place, Nineveh, in shame and defeat. And then later on was killed by his two sons. And Jerusalem was miraculously saved. God really came through as a way maker, as a miracle worker, as a promise keeper, as the light in darkness. And that is who he really is. And that is what Hezekiah really understood who he really is when he really meditated and prayed in his house, in the house of the Lord. That's why in verse 8 he says, come, behold the works of the Lord. It's a personal invitation. It is from somebody that has the first-hand experience of how great this God is. It's not based on the experience and knowledge of the forefathers, but it is something that he experienced that himself. He said, look, I've seen his power. I have tasted his goodness. I have experienced his faithfulness. And I have observed all his greatness. Come, behold the works of the Lord yourself. I was afraid of wars, but he makes the wars to cease. and I was afraid of the flaming arrows aiming at me, but he broke the bow. I was afraid of the spears hurling at me, but he cut the spears in two. I was afraid of the chariots chasing after me, but he burned the chariots in the fire. I experienced his deliverance, and I saw the power, and I lived in his goodness. So he's able to experience all that and let the people know. And come, behold the works of the Lord yourself. You know, when we come before him, we will experience him in a new way. We will have a new revelation of his power and his love. And when we have that, we know that nothing can really harm us. Nothing can really get us down. That's why in verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still does not mean that you don't do anything. But what it means is cease striving. Cease striving from your own strength, from your own wisdom. And just really depend on him. Listen to what he has to say. And get that new revelation from him. That you will really see why he allows you to go through this hard time, this crisis in your life. He is in perfect control of all things. What do you think God is like in crisis? Do you think he will panic like us? I love this verse from Psalm 29, verse 10. It says, "The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever." When we are still before him and wait on him, we can see that our God is always sitting on his throne. Because the flood that we see is actually a little trickle in his eyes. It's nothing for him. He's still sitting as king, and it says forever. That means there's not a moment that God was like us in a panic mode. So this morning, may the Lord help us to move our focus from the flood back to our faithful and glorious King and give him the glory. And that's why we could boldly have this affirmation of faith saying, "I will not fret because I have a revelation." And I don't know whether you notice verses 7 and 11, and it's very interesting. These two verses are identical. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." The Lord of hosts is another name of the Lord of heaven's armies. He is the one that is fighting for us. Can you imagine the whole heavenly host plus God himself fighting for us? What is there for us to be fearful for? But then why God of Jacob, though? Because many of the times in the Bible, we know that he is the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, but very seldom use the God of Jacob. Here, the psalmist uses the God of Jacob. We know Jacob was a schemer. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He uses a lot of schemes to trick people and to cheat people. He even strives with God. And yet God, the Most High God, is willing to associate his name together with Jacob. He is the God of Jacob. And that really is the beauty and the greatness of our God. He wants to associate with you. No matter what kind of person you are, and no matter what you have done, and his love is the same for you, and he wants to be your God. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what we have done, he wants to be our God. This morning, he knows your fears, and he knows how you feel when you're in a crisis. So he wants to offer himself as your refuge, as your strength. He wants to be your hidden stream that will give you that joy and peace no matter what comes your way. And he also wants your heart to be still so that you will really hear what he has to say to you. You know, if I tell you this morning, don't be afraid, whatever that's going to happen. It's not going to help you. But this morning, I want to invite you to really get beneath, get underneath your fear. Get underneath your fear and ask yourself, why is this thing so important to me? And what is really the thing that is the most important to me? And why is it so important to me? And if this thing that I'm leaning on, that I have the security in, if this thing changes or crumbles, would my world crumble together with this? Ask yourself this. And then repent from making that thing that will really change, that can change. And then turn that, turn around, and then make that focus back on God, our own, our solid rock. And make God alone your solid rock that will never crumble, would never shake. So this morning, why don't we stand up together, and then we have this affirmation of our faith, those three things that I mentioned. So we can say it together as an affirmation of faith. Can we all stand up? And I would just say it first, and then you can repeat after me. I will not fear, because God is my refuge. I will not faint, because I have a river. I will not fret, because I have a revelation. Let's say it again together. I will not fear, because God is my refuge. I will not faint, because I have a river. I will not fret, because I have a revelation. Father God, I pray that you will seal these affirmation of faith in our hearts. And Lord, that you will touch every life and heal every heart here. That Lord, in Christ alone, the solid rock that we stand. In Jesus' name, amen.